Welcome to Agents of Smooch. Our mission today is kissing. Lots and lots of kissing. It is New Year's Eve, and at the stroke of midnight, it's the perfect time to kiss, or so all of the movies tell us. What better time to have our kissing draft? Our agents will be taking turns choosing their favorite kisses and telling us why that kiss melts their hearts. For this mission, I am joined by four agents who will be introduced in the random order that they will be playing. And we are starting with Lucky Agent McDonald. Hello, Gina.
Thank God! I've never wished to be number one so hard. Thank you for having us, Annette. And I was literally sitting here going like, me, can it be? It's me, yay!
It is you.
Thank you. Best New Year's present ever.
And next up will be Agent Shelley Brisbane.
Hooray! Happy New Year to all. I've brought my hot takes, my hot kissing choices. It's going to be a hot Eve.
It's going to be sizzling. And following Agent Shelley will be Agent Moises Chuyan. Hello, Moises.
I'm ready to get down, as it were, which is probably an awkward line in some awkward meet cute where people kiss somewhere, somehow. I don't know.
The homework for this podcast was very fun. And our final agent will be Agent Katie Beth. Hello, Katie Beth.
Hello, Annette. Thank you for having me on. And thanks for making me do such fun research.
I know. And we have recorded an episode that will be released later that you are in. But this is your first official appearance on Agents of Smooch. So welcome.
Thank you. That might be on my list, maybe.
Yes. That'll be a surprise. We will leave. Like, what's on your list? We'll find out soon. So if you are not familiar with a draft, what we do is just basically take turns picking kisses. And once that kiss has been picked, it is taken. And we will all groan mightily, even though we all get to discuss how much we like that particular kiss. So really, it's always winning. And we are just going to jump right in and hand the baton over to Jean. What is your first kiss?
Oh my gosh. Well, surprising no one, my pick that I was sure would be sniped if I were
by
not
me,
number one. By you, specifically.
I know which
but
one
you
it
never
is.
Know, because it is a wonderful, wonderful kiss. From A Room with a View, George and Lucy, they're in a field of poppies, and she's in her Edwardian white cotton dress and big hat, and he's, you know, whatever those suits those guys wore back. And he's just coming very nonchalantly over to where he is, and he turns around. He enfolds her in his manly arms, as was recorded by Eleanor Lavish later, and he smooches her, and she smooches him back. And it's a great kiss. One flaw, of course, is that it's cut way too short by chaperone Charlotte Bartlett, who, for unknown reasons, at least in the movie, suddenly decides she's worried that she let Lucy go off on. But everything leading up to that kiss is also just really fun, because it's contrasted with Charlotte, played by Maggie Smith, Eleanor Lavish, played by Judi Dench, sitting, you know, having a little picnic and talking about, like, really steamy romances by their standards, you know, that somebody they know had, married an Italian, and Charlotte is kind of wistful, a romantic, you know, scene like the one they're in. That's probably what got Charlotte. Wait, I just let Lucy walk out into this, and who knows what will happen. And when, Eleanor Lavish says to Charlotte, "And I divine you had an adventure there, Charlotte," when mentions how she thinks the Italian hills were her girlfriend's country home in Shropshire. So anyway, it's. I tried to think, was there any kiss that beats this kiss for me? And there really isn't. So I would have, of course, gracefully accepted somebody sniping me, but I'm very happy not to be sniped.
I didn't even put it on my list because I knew you would go before me since I go last. And I was
that's true.
Jean will pick that one.
I was laughing because it was so unbranded. I was like, yep, that's Jean's. I wouldn't have taken it from you, but I'm glad that you played to type.
Have.
So to speak. You might have. That's okay. It's sniping is allowed.
Yeah.
Except when it involves me.
Yes. Gina and I have a deep and connection over our love of the View. And I believe Moises, you were also on our episode.
Yes,
one
indeed.
Of our very first talking about this. Yeah,
it's a long smooch history. It, it's for a movie that has one kiss in it. Basically, it has one great kiss.
Hey, if it's a good one, that's all you need. That's all you
need. It has Cecil and Lucy in their terrible.
Oh, right. No, that's true.
Cecil.
I thought about picking that as like a devil's advocate choice. Like, well, he was trying. No, you have to go with joy.
There is no try, only do. Well, then let's move on to Shelley. What is your first pick?
Well, this is from a movie that has, over the years, taken a dip in respectability because of something that has nothing to do with this kiss. And I refer, of course, to Breakfast at Tiffany's, a movie which includes a racist depiction of a Japanese character that, again, has nothing to do with the kiss. The movie is still great. So perhaps that's a hot take. But the kiss at the end between Audrey Hepburn and George Pard comes as they're in a cab. It's a rainy night. Breakfast at Tiffany's, beautiful film, takes place in a lovely apartment in New York in large part, also out in front of the Tiffany's window, just beautiful scenes. But at the end of the movie, it's rainy and it's dark and they're in a cab. And the reason that I love the kiss, where he finally convinces her to stay and they're going to be together, there's a cat in it.
The cat is
very important, because I remember the first time I saw that, because the cat is Holly's cat. She refuses to name it because she doesn't. I mean, the whole thing about Holly Golightly in this movie is that she does not want to be attached to things, but she loves people and she loves this cat. But she called him Cat. She didn't want to be attached to him. But George Pappard knows she loves him and she loves the cat. They rescue the cat. He's holding the cat. It's just beautifully done. And I'm more anxious for the cat. I don't trust them to not just leave the cat. I'm like, you have to. And so, yes. So the joy I feel when they kiss has with the fact that the cat is going to have a home.
Oh. You know, that's my kind of movie then.
Yes.
I'm playing to the host, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
Sucking up. Now, when you picked it, I thought about that movie too, because I love that kiss. That whole scene is fantastic. But I'm marking it down on my list for some future draft we do. Best cat act.
Yes,
because cat will get picked by somebody.
I love the way Holly Golightly says cat throughout the movie, and it's just clear that she's so frustrated that she cares for the little tabby cat, and
that's delightful. Moises, first pick.
Well, I considered my options. Do I go classic cinema? Do I go newer? Do I jump away from movies and into TV? And I think I have to jump over to the side of TV, probably sniping one or another of the people out there of the various shows that have become sensations, not just when they hit streaming, but thanks to the pandemic and people having a lot of couch viewing to do. There's a little show from north of the wall, as we call it, down here in the United States, up in Canada, called Schitt's Creek. That features one of my favorite pairings, and one of my favorite first kisses, among various kisses that we get between these characters. Technically, I guess it maybe spoils a little bit of the early seasons of things. But one of our central characters, David, meets the love of his life, Patrick, and it is wonderful and delicate and full of nerves and the beginning to something that grows and is quite beautiful and one of my favorite parts of that show. And that for me is all the makings of a great on-screen kiss, is something that is very much a part of the storytelling that tells story in the dynamics of the kiss itself, of the why of the kiss, of the when of the kiss, of all of it. And it's just one of my favorite screen romances of recent memory.
That was 100% on my list. Sniped!
Stealing from Canadians. a true American tradition.
I'm trying to bring the Canadian content. But I think like that's not like a back-bending, you know, like heavy-duty smooch at all, which is something I love. But it is like super sweet and really emblematic of the whole relationship and how it starts. It's like delightful.
I didn't put Schitt's Creek on my list because I knew it was going to come up. I love them so much. They're just so precious with each other.
That was one of the ones where, again, you watch and then I think I probably should just watch this entire show. Katie Beth, what is your first?
So I'm going to have to go with a television choice for my first pick. And I am going to stay very true to who I am as a person. And I'm going to throw in Fox Mulder kissing the 1939 alternate reality version of Dana Scully. In the season 6 episode of the X-Files, it's called Triangle. They're in the Bermuda Triangle. Everyone he knows is there. And Scully is an SS agent who's protecting the Thor's hammer scientist. And there's all this running around that ensues on this very beautiful old ship that's a real thing. And he gets to the point where he's like, okay, well, I'm going to have to jump overboard. So you're going to have to save the day. This is what you need to do. And he tells her what to do. She yells at him. And then he says, so in case I never get the chance, because allegedly he hasn't had the chance yet. That's questionable to people who've watched the show too many times. But he goes and kisses the 1939 Scully. It is the worst lit kiss in the whole series, which is saying something because they're all horribly lit. And she punches him in the face. And his response is, I was expecting a left, which is just so perfect because even though it's not his Scully, whether he's dreamed her or this is a real alternate reality he stumbled into, he knows that that's exactly what she would do to him if he kissed her like that with no warning. And I think it's fun to note that the actors were kissing on set well before they got to this episode. And there's like footage of this from previous episodes and the first movie. And the creator of the show got called down to the set while they were filming the movie because they were like, let's do some takes where we kiss. And he got this phone call like, they're kissing again. So I appreciate that even the two of them said, no, these people are a couple. And the show said, we'll give you what you want, but not really. And it's so good.
They understood what we were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
My first pick is going to be that my technique for doing research was like couples that I find especially worthy, and then look at, and be like, because I couldn't think of like, you know, as soon as you start thinking about it, my mind like emptied of kisses. So yes, I'm like, right, a show I really love, Jane and Raphael, from Jane the Virgin. If you're on Team Michael, well, we just have a lot to fight about. But Jane and Raphael, their very first kiss. The fun thing about this show is it's narrated. So the kiss is narrated. And it just is, it starts a little bit slow. And then they end up standing up, kissing. He lifts her and she has like her one foot up in a very classic. And there's like, because it's a little bit of fantastical elements to it. There's like flower petals fluttering around them, and it's just so beautiful. And then the kiss is really good, and all I care about after that is I just want more. And there's many good kisses between them throughout this one. Very happy, love it.
Well, speaking of things to catch up on while couchbound, this is one of those shows that I've been meaning to catch up on because everybody loves it and I missed it.
It's just, I find it really, it's one of these, the things I want to do an episode on because Kirsten Gorick and I have watched it multiple times, some of it together, and we talk about it a lot, and it's just, there's the funny and soapy, but still really heartfelt and delightful, and so we're going to circle and back up.
Ah, kisses. Bye. Decide whether to be strategic.
I feel like now is the time to go with.
Oh, I'll go with you. Oh, well, then I have to go with Bridget Jones' Diary. Nice boys don't kiss like that.
Mm-hmm.
When Bridget, I mean, just rewatching that one scene today, I'm like, I still can't believe this was a scene that she ran through the streets of London with just sneakers, like tiger print underwear, a tank top, and a sweater after Mark Darcy, who had just found her diary, above reference diary, which has many entries in it where she mentions how much she dislikes him, and he left the room. She thinks they were just about to kiss, but like a Bridget that she is, she's like, "Oh, I need to. I'll be right back," because she wants to change into these tiger stripe underwear. And
as you do.
I mean, underwear is a character in the movie. But she, you know, he leaves and she assumes he's read the diary and he's like discussed it with her. He's coming back. So she runs after him. And it's snowing. I mean, if you haven't seen the movie or you don't recall, I mean, it's Christmas time and it is snowing. It is cold. And I don't see how you go out with like fully bare legs in that weather, but I'm a wimp. Maybe Canadians do that. I don't know. But anyway, she does catch up to him coming out of a stationery store where he's not running away. He's just bought her a fresh diary so she can start fresh. And then she smooches him. He smooches her. And there's a lot of smooching going on. And then she backs up and she says, "Nice boys don't kiss like that." And he says, "Yes, they effing do." And it's, yeah, well, and because it's Mark Darcy, who is, of course, Colin Firth, who is, of course, Mr. Darcy of BBC Pride and Prejudice miniseries. It's like the kiss that you didn't get in Pride and Prejudice, finally. A really smooching kiss from Mr. Darcy.
Yes. So
that's why it's one of my...
Fun fact, they never kiss. They sometimes do in the movies because we want everyone, but in the books...
Well, as an avowed stationery nerd, I mean, the most romantic thing about that is he went to a stationery store.
Got her a new diary.
Oh, stationery gifts. When done right, stationery gifts are the most personal, the most lovely, the most wonderful.
I totally buy that. Shelley, next Vic.
So given that we're going with our hearts, I'm going to call an audible. This was not even one I had written down for two reasons. One, I was not really thinking TV. I was thinking movies. Mm-hmm. And two, it's probably not one you've ever seen or likely to, but I'll link it on YouTube because it is out there. When I was a tiny little person, I developed a fandom for soap operas from my mom. And back in the 80s, they had this thing, well, I guess they always have, called Super Couples. You invest a lot of energy in will they or won't they, and of course they eventually will, and they get a big wedding, and then they either write them off or break. This particular super couple was on a show called Guiding Light, and their names are Quint and Nola. And the whole story was done as kind of a gothic romance. It was a cross, he was an archaeologist, and it was a cross between Indiana Jones and Rebecca. So he's this archaeologist who wears
a... here for this, Shelley.
Right. He wears this big floppy hat, and he's very secretive and gothic. Don't go into the room on the third floor, that kind of stuff. And she's a young woman who, in the arc of the show, has been a villainess, but they want to reform her because Lisa Brown, who played her... But interesting, both of these actors died just this year, and I guess that's why I'm thinking of it, because they died with it. And Lisa Brown, who played this part, was so amazing. And she's this really sort of... She's poor, and she wants to get out of her impoverished life. Quint, the archaeologist, happens to be wealthy, but of course, when they fall in love, it's not for his money that she loved, but just for pretty blue, awesome beauty of all. they spend a number of months doing the will they or won't they thing. There are obstacles to their love. He is keeping many secrets from her, including what's on the third floor and other things from his past. He talks about his past a lot, but then she asks him about it. She says, "I can't. He can't talk about it." So their first kiss happens when she works as his assistant, and he takes her on an archaeological dig, which is on an island. And they're in their sort of headquarters is out on a boat, and they have to dive off of this island to find a map in order to get to whatever it is that's on the island. And Nola has a diving mishap from which he rescues her, and he carries her up onto the beach. And that is the point that he realizes that he'd be lost without her, and that he almost lost her. And they do a full-on romantic kiss with Paco Belcanin playing. He lays her out on the beach, as one would. And the astonishing thing to me, because I've watched as much as can be watched on, the astonishing thing to me is that from all appearances, after that, they didn't make love after the kiss. The kiss happened, and the next thing you see him in the tent, sort of awkwardly, he's trying to pretend the kiss didn't happen, and she wants to talk about it. It's a beautiful kiss, but I've always thought, there is no way that ends in him going, "Well, I guess we better get back to camp." Just amazing.
Don't drag it out. We want them just to go straight to the sack.
Well, and they don't sleep together until they get married, which is about a year later in a giant wedding. And just a quick backstory about the time this kiss was happening. The head writer who created those two characters was fired from the show, and so it kind of broke their storyline. They still had another couple of years to go on the show, but he had been taking them to a certain place, and whoever replaced him was like, okay, we're not as good as you, so we'll get them married. And there are a lot of great adventures. They go on various archaeological digs, and we learn his terrible secrets, and his past lover is a psychopath, and all this kind of good stuff. It's one of my favorite super couple soap stories.
It sounds delightful.
I'm just glad you didn't say Luke and Laura.
No, not at all.
Oh, what do you take Shelley for?
Luke and Laura. Come on, Gene. Have some respect for my taste.
She would have sooner chosen Dark Shadows than Luke and Laura.
Well, interestingly enough, Joan Bennett, who was in Dark Shadows, makes a guest appearance on Guiding Light, and Nola, who is a fan of old movies as one of her character bits, gets to meet Joan Bennett. And it's like she's there for like one day, and she says, oh, hi, Nola, how are you? And that's it. But
So, Moises, next pick.
Well, I feel like I've got to pick up a cue that I could have taken from Shelley just now, mentioning old movies. And one of those classic movie kisses that is really one of those great kisses that sells the longing, the separation caused by times of war that is iconic for many of the same reasons that the whole movie is iconic and is rapidly misquoted every time anybody gets an opportunity to, is the first time we get to see Ilsa and Rick kiss in Casablanca. It is one that I know people who have not seen it who go, oh yeah, Casablanca, yeah, I get it, I've heard all the quotes. You don't get Casablanca until you've actually seen the movie. It's over 80 years old now, and it is every bit as good today as it was, around 80 years old, I think. Maybe I've got the numbers wrong. Whatever. I'm blinded by
it's
love.
1942. So, yeah, you're
1942.
Right on. You're on target.
I'm on target. The movie is full of romantic longing, and will they or won't they is in there. Who will end up with whom? I don't want to even spoil it so much for people who haven't seen it yet, and hopefully use this as a reason to encourage people to see this movie. That's like, yeah, I get it. It's the Citizen Kane of romance. You know, great, it's a classic. Fine, I get it. No, you don't get it until you've seen it. There are so many layers to so many things going on in this movie between these characters, between them and other characters. Yeah, the separation caused by circumstances well out of someone's control is something that I think a lot of us can relate to at the moment and have been able to for a little while now, in ways that maybe people haven't been able to since World War II. Casablanca is great, for many other reasons, but it is also absolutely home to one of the best kisses in movie history.
This actually makes me think of, I think, one of the things that makes a good kiss. And I think you cannot just like open and be like, well, that's a really good kiss and see the clip of it. And you can appreciate it. But I think what makes the kiss and so like gratifying for us as viewers is that like many of these examples is it comes at the end of us longing for it, and the things that keep the will they or won't they, the like people going through all the trials and tribulations, and then when they finally kiss, it's sort of like that's the moment when you are, you can't have the same feelings just watching them, to have that build up of the audience and the connection, like we're all kissing all together. That's all, we're all
it's really true. If you watch any of the clips and the various articles you can find online, best if you don't have any connection with it at all, it doesn't mean anywhere much. And you can have a beautifully photographed, and sometimes they say something that's either funny or poignant, and you can understand the importance. But I don't think George Part and Audrey Hepburn kissing the cat means anything if you haven't watched, or Rick and Ilsa, even though that's not the kiss at the end of the movie, you understand by the time that kiss occurs what has been, but why it's still so painful for both of them. Obviously, at the time of the kiss, you didn't end up together, but all of that history and all of the looking in their eyes when they're alone, like when the characters are apart, a lot of times that's when you get how meaningful, because they're either sad or longing, or discovering. That's what makes a good V-Kiss such a payoff.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Katie Beth, and your next pick.
Oh my gosh. So I just changed my answer in my mind multiple times to that conversation. So I, going with the concept of a payoff to a journey, I'm going to throw out Peter and Olivia kissing in the street in season 4 of Fringe when she gets her memories back. And if you don't know Fringe, the real quick is science fiction-y X-Files, but not X-Files. And they've been a couple and they'd kissed. And then she went up in a parallel universe and her doppelganger came back and had a relationship with him. And he thought it was her. And then she comes back and they mend everything. And then to fix the universes, he erases himself from history. But she loves him so much and his father loves him so much that they make him reappear. And nobody remembers him because he's erased himself from history. And so he keeps saying, I don't know that it's, you know, I'm trying to get back to my universe, but it's always been his universe. And he keeps pushing her away because he doesn't want to hurt her again, even if that's not really her. And so when she gets her memories back, he's standing in the street, she's standing in the street, and they see each other and they know that it's true and it's really her, and they kiss. And it's such a payoff because no matter what's going to happen now, which is terrible, scary science fiction mess, you know they're going to be okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And this is another one I don't think I put on my list because I knew you were going to take it. And yeah. Spoiler, our next episode is going to be about Fringe. So you have a few weeks to go and watch 5 seasons of Fringe. Go do it.
100 episodes. It's fine.
Yes. We talk about it with James Thompson and it's very fun because it's another one of those shows that's like, you can tell me it's about everything else, but that show is really a romance.
But first I have to watch Jane. Then.
Yeah. Another 5 season, right. 5 seasons. No problem. Just get to it. I am going to bring in for my next pick some more Canadian content. I feel like if I don't talk about Wynonna Earp, I am failing. And that show is like, I mean, it's kissing from front to end. There's a lot of really good kissing. The hard part was like pick for one. And I'm going with Away Hot, which is the ship name for Nicole and Waverly, two characters, and their first kiss, because I love a good first kiss, where it's very enthusiastic, and basically they start like moving back towards the couch to make out, and it's just dynamic, and a brave step from Waverly, the main character, who it's the first time she's in love with another woman, and sort of exploring that, and sort of sets the stage for every other kiss between them. And my goodness, see kissing, watch Wynonna Earp, because it's not just them. There's much kissing.
There's a lot of kissing.
Yeah, Wynonna Earp. It's kissing show.
I admire you for being able to pick from a good kiss.
Well, I'm going to put some links in the show notes, but I had the Earpers. I asked them because I'm on another podcast with Erica Ensign and Kirsten Gork, where we just talk about Wynonna Earp. And I asked the Earpers, like, what kiss? And they just sent me a whole thread of kisses. And it's
thread of kisses. We should all be so lucky.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good one. She sent it to me last night.
So, and I think it's also one of the strengths of Wynonna Earp is the sort of positivity of the same-sex relationship, which we don't see as much of. And there's just a lot of kids. Go watch it. Which brings us back round again to, I think we can fit in more rounds just based on our pace. So,
well, I am going to take off the board. Classic film from 1985, a kiss that changed everything, and that is George and Lorraine, Back to the Future, the first movie, The Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, when Marty McFly is trying to get his parents together, and it is not happening, and his whole family is going to disappear if George doesn't kiss Lorraine at this dance. And the band is playing Earth Angel, and it's nice. Very, like, you know, beautiful 50s set. Lorraine, help me out. Who's the actress? I know who she is.
Oh, Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson. Yes. Looks so gorgeous in this, you know, because she's wearing an off-the-shoulder, like, big chiffon number, and she just looks like, you know, she's just totally radiant. But even Crispin Glover, who plays George McFly, Marty's father, who is, throughout the film, a total loser, in his white jacket, you know, prom getup. He looks, they made him look just handsome enough to make this scene really work. He has been dancing with her. It's going okay. But then some other dude cuts in, and because he's the wimp, he just sort of walks away. And that's when you think, oh no, it's never going to happen. He comes back, he pushes the other guy down and kisses. It's just such a great kissing moment. And then he looks up at the stage where his future son, Marty, is playing guitar. And he sort of gives him like a wave, a kind of a high five. You did it, man. And so anyway, I think it's very... It makes it very romantic, this otherwise, you know, big comedy show.
Yeah, and a lot of action, but we had, like, it hinges on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is a... And things, you think, like, okay, things are going to be okay now, because they have a good plan to get Marty back to the future, as it were. But it's like, you know, there's still a good half an hour, 45 minutes left in this movie to have you hanging onto the edge of your seat. And it's obviously, I assume there's almost nobody who hasn't seen this film, but I did see it in the theater when it came out. I was on a date even. So it was, I just remember it very fondly. And it was, yeah, it is one of those practically a perfect movie. So there you go.
Shelley, next pick.
So I am nothing if not on brand, and 1942 was a great year for kisses, as we've established. This one comes from my heart as a fan. My favorite couple in all of film history is Spencer and Katharine Hepburn. They made their first movie, Woman of the Year, in 1942. They are famous among people who pay attention to such things for not actually kissing hardly at all in their movies. If you watch the movies, and most of the movies that they did together, they were a couple. It was one where they were not. But they just don't kiss, which is very it's very upsetting. It's like, wait, come on, you could do it. I mean, especially since they were a couple in real life, right? So their very first kiss happens in Woman of the Year. And it is when they are falling in love. And he's taken her to the air. She's way too busy. Like, the characters they play, he's a sports writer, and she is a columnist. She's sort of a gadfly. And so he's a working class archetype, and she's sort of a fancy world traveler, jet setter kind of person. And so, you know, opposites attract and all that stuff. But he wants a date with her, and she's like, look, you can take me to the airport, because that's all the time I have. I have to go. And so they get to the airport, and they're sort of looking at each other awkwardly, and it is the moment when one would kiss. And she looks at him, and she goes, I thought you'd want to kiss me goodbye. And it's an interesting move, because there's a guy who works for her that he's trying to avoid, because he's going to stop them from getting together, not because he doesn't want them to get together, but because he's got a schedule to keep. And so Tracy looks around for this guy, looks to see if anybody's watching, and he puts his arm in front of Kate's shoulder and sort of puts his head in front of the camera so that you see the back of his head and you see his arm and you just see the top of her head as he goes in for the kiss. And then they come out of the kiss and you see her face. And Hepburn can do this thing when she's a younger actress where she gets kissed and she's just like, oh, wow, golly, that was better than I could ever have expected. And just her face, it's such a good kiss. And it's very satisfying, and like I say, it's one of the few, and that movie is the sexiest movie they made together. There are other movies where their relationship is warm and funny and comfortable, but that's the movie where the sex is happening, and presumably both, in because that is when they were falling in love. I've always loved
it. Delightful. Moises.
Well, let's see. Let me... I don't believe we've done a musical yet, and I think we need a musical. When a movie has romantic leads who have this level of chemistry, you put that kiss right on the poster, that is Moulin Rouge.
I
could honestly pick just about any of the kisses between Christian and Satine, because as much as actors are all hired to do their jobs and show up and you know sell the show, Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman sell it like crazy. Where you totally buy into this this romance. You buy into the weird heightened world that you go into whenever you jump into a Baz Luhrmann universe. The passion and just energy behind that kiss is what has made this movie a modern classic over the last 20 years, and why it still endures to this day and finally is now a Broadway musical after many years of people wondering, why has this not already been put onto Broadway? Because it's ready made. The movie's wonderful. The movie's fantastic. Now that I realize, oh, it's 20 years old, there may be people who haven't seen it. So, like Casablanca, I hope that that this urges people to go watch Moulin Rouge who have not watched Moulin Rouge. When it initially came out, it was criticized for some of its jukebox musical trappings of using pre-existing songs. Pardon me. To me, the way that it plays with those themes just goes back to the notion of love being universal and a thing that is constantly reborn and re-envisioned one generation to the next. And it is one of the most truly powerful and enduring aspects of human life. Mm-hmm. So there you go, Christian Satine.
I saw that movie in the theater, and I'm one of those people who found some aspects way too the top. I had a thoroughly good time. I loved watching it. But you're absolutely right that the chemistry is what kind of grounds it, if that's even a word you should use about Moulin Rouge, but it's just delightful to watch them. And I remember thinking, okay, whatever criticisms I have of them, the jukebox music of it, I was fine. I was like, fine, go ahead. It was just Baz Luhrmann, what he does. And there were points at which you're like, really? Okay. But the chemistry.
Yeah, I adore this movie. I also saw it in the theater. I have it. And it's just delightful. I always thought it was great the way they patched together the one song with, like, it's the greatest love song of all time by putting together all of the great love songs. And I'm like, I think it's, but yes, it was delightful. And I feel like I should watch it. Sigh. Too much watching to do just for kissing on what else am I going to do on New Year's Eve in the middle of a pandemic, but watch movies with kissing. Katie Beth, what's your next choice?
So the movie that I really didn't want to turn off when I was watching the kissing, in 2007, a little sequel film came out, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. And in the climax of the film, there's a giant multiple pirate ship fighting with pirates and weird mutant pirates. And in the middle of it, Elizabeth Swann and Will Turner, who are the main couple, realize that if they're going to get married, they better do it now. Otherwise, they're probably going to die in this big sword fight. And so they yell at Captain Barbossa to marry them. And then they have a sword fight while they're attempting to get married, which is excellent. And
there's no symbolism there or anything, is there?
Right. I mean, you know, it's the opposite of enemies to lovers because they weren't enemies ever. But I mean, I'm just saying everything needs more sword fights and kissing. Just add them together. So there's the beautiful Hans Zimmer score that happens. And there's a point where he spins her while the music does like a little frill. and they're like yelling their vows at each other and they try to kiss. And then somebody comes up and then they, you know, lean out and they murder some more things. And then they turn around, they lock swords, realize it's each other. She pulls him in and kisses him. And it keeps going and keeps going and the music is swelling and it cuts away to the like comedic relief characters with the monkey peeking out at it and it cuts to them and it keeps going and the fight keeps going and finally it just goes back to the sword fights. But whew, it's not the first time those characters kiss on screen, but it's certainly, I think, the best one. And she's the Pirate King. So like, what a great day for her.
Yes. It's like, it's so hard because I have such a long list for days, probably. I'm going to go with one of my other favorite shows, a little thing called Alias, since Katie Beth already brought up Fringe. But there is, again, another kiss where we have to wait because Sydney cannot kiss her handler because they cannot have a relationship. But in the middle of, I believe it's halfway through season two, when they bring down their big bad of that first part of the series, and they're literally in the midst of like arresting people, shutting things down, taking over the space. And they, Michael Vaughn and Sydney Bristow come together and all of their like tactical gear and make out in the middle of this professional scene. And you've been waiting for it for a long time. And it is very sad. Like, yeah. So let's do one more round and then we'll do a speed round so we can all like throw a whole bunch more kisses out. It's like, everyone, we're just making out. So back to you, Jean.
Well, you know, we've been talking about TV, and I think, like Shelley, I thought we were only doing movies, but I was also like, well, movies, kisses are the best. I did have one TV kiss that I really love, but I also think there's a reason why movie kisses are better, generally, than TV kisses, is that the movie ends, you know, and it's like 2 hours and it ends. One of my favorite kisses on TV comes from Friends, the one where Ross finds out, season 2, episode 7, where Ross and Rachel kiss for the first time. And it's just super romantic. I mean, he has liked her his whole like life since he was in high school. She's been kind of oblivious to him, but she's started to notice. And then when she finally realizes that she does like him, he is with somebody else. And so she tries not to let that, you know, let herself get interfering with that, but she does it. And eventually drunk dials him. And then he's mad, like, why didn't you tell me? And she's mad and he's like storms off. But then he comes back and it's raining outside. So he comes back all dripping wet, grabs her in the coffee shop. Of course, it's a coffee shop. And it's one of these great kisses. The reason I don't like it anymore is because I really don't like Ross anymore. And I don't like Ross and Rachel. I liked them. Like as I was watching the series, you know, I was sucked into that storyline, and especially the one where they're on a break. It just broke my heart at the time. I can't even watch it today. It just seems too painful where I'm not even going to go into it. But once you get through 10 seasons of these two, and I'm sorry, it's mostly Ross, who's just a real big narcissistic, you know, dinosaur loving dope. So a kiss that I really, really liked, it's hard for me to like it, you know, in context now. And if it had been a movie, you know, and like they ended up together, the waitress and the paleontologist, that would have been a perfect little movie, but no. So yeah, more context does, and more time together and more things happening does not necessarily make it more of anything.
There we go. I'm like, I mostly pick TV kisses. Apparently we fundamentally disagree.
Mm-hmm. I see that, and that's okay.
Oh, Shelley, what do you got for us?
Oh, I approach this one with trepidation because this is my hottest of hot takes.
Ooh,
a movie
I like
which
hot
is
takes.
Often criticized and justifiably so, but let us not criticize it here. Let us focus on the one of which I wish to speak. The movie is The Sound of Music, and the kiss. I want to know what those sighs mean. Are we in agreement?
It was on my list. Yeah, no, it was on my list. So
a lot of people think Sound of Music is treacly whatevs. It's a beautifully photographed movie. I enjoy Christopher Plummer and your couple. The kiss is great because they've realized he's come to realize that he loves her. She's come back, and the kiss is photographed in silhouette while they're singing, which is difficult. The song is "I Must Have Done Something Good," and basically they're like, "Wow, I can't believe I get to be," which is a great, delightful mm-hmm. sentiment. And Christopher Plummer is no great singer, but it's not necessary because the way that song is phrased, it's very intimate. They're singing close together in silhouette. It's just beautiful. And that sells them as a couple for me. It's just.
Yeah, I had exactly that on my list. I think it's fantastic. Kiss and a beautiful song. And that sells them along with the dancing, the Austrian.
Yes, the dancing
Lindler.
is great. Too. I really like the dancing, and I like the embarrassment of the way she looks when she's realizing, because I mean this is a young woman who's wanting to be a nun this whole time, and so you have to remember that when you see like just how embarrassed she is. I mean, they're single. There's no reason they couldn't be together except the Baroness is running around, but that seems like a small impediment. But just her level of sort of shyness, embarrassment at that time sets this.
Mm-hmm. Also, I was thinking how lovely it was, you know, if you had a big estate like that, that you would have this glass gazebo where trysts could take place, but very fairly chaste trysts because it's a glass gazebo.
According to Julianne, it was quite cold, and also they were cracking up. Apparently, that was quite the rowdy set, and they had trouble staying serious, which I love to think about now when I watch.
Back in the day, I did a trip, like, you know, the whole backpacking across Europe trick, as you do when you're done university. And I went to Austria and took the Sound of Mutur and saw that gazebo. They would no longer let you go in it, though, because too many people would reenact scenes in it and it was damaging the gazebo, which is like, yeah, I could see it. So you could only look, no dancing and singing in the gazebo.
Yeah, I did that too a couple of years ago myself. I'm like, I'm in Salzburg. There's no way I'm not going to locations.
Moises, what is your next choice?
Well, I'm a big fan of movies that go a little extra and a little over the top, titling with possessive credits. I like to add a possessive credit to the existing possessive credit on a movie that I consider Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. And it has been the source of much thirst by those of us who grew up on it. It is a very hot, very sexy vampire movie that I think Interview with the Vampire wanted to be as hot and sexy as this vampire movie. But to me, the hot and sexy vampire movie of the 90s crown goes to Bram Stoker's Dracula. I'm going to be a little bit lazy and put it to being, I don't know, just any of the kisses involving Dracula, because they're all super hot. Whether his original lady love that we see in the prologue, or his other companions that he gains over the course of the movie. Yeah, when you do a gothic romance, you've got to come correct with the amount of thirstiness that is quite literally in your kissing. And this movie has.
That sounds. You know what? It's not a movie I've ever seen. I just hear a lot about it and always think I should watch that movie since I like kissing.
Be prepared for Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder's terrible accents, and you'll be fine.
Yes. You know what? I have seen it, just not for a very, very long. Yes. Katie Beth, next pick.
I'm having a little Sophie's Choice right now. I'm going to go with back to a television show. The first time I saw Veronica Mars, I didn't know what I had gotten myself into. And it was 2014, just before the movie came out. And I knew the barest of premise. So I had no idea what was going to happen with any of the characters. And at the near the end of season one, there's a whole plot line with the DEA agent planting bomb stuff to try and send some guy to jail, and it's a whole thing. Anyway, so Veronica has gone with the DEA agent, who is Jonathan Taylor Thomas, of all people. It's very strange.
Very convincing. And
for my age group, like, he was such a babe when we were all elementary age, so it's kind of like very strange. And Logan Eccles, who is her ex-boyfriend's best friend, who was dating her best friend when her best friend was murdered, has decided he likes her, and they hate each other so much. And it's like a proper enemies to lovers thing. And so he shows up at the balcony of the Camelot, which is a seedy motel where everybody goes to have their little illicit love affairs. And they go out on the balcony and there's yelling and then they kiss each other. And it's entirely unexpected. If you don't know what's going to happen in the series, if you do know what's going to happen, you're just excited the whole time. And they kiss each other and it's this wide crane shot, like backing away while they keep kissing. And then it's in like every previously on forever.
It's also a nice grab and kiss.
Oh God.
Grab and kiss that. Oh,
cause that's a very Logan Eccles. Yeah.
Yes.
It was. Like, I stole it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't mind being sniped for that one.
But I will say the chemistry between those two actors is so good. And even all the way to the most recent thing is the short-lived Hulu series. And still it's like super high chemistry between the two of them. So like, it's not one of those where it gets boring. It's real. Oh, he's so handsome and she's so pretty and they're so good together.
Yeah. And the tension between them.
Oh my gosh.
That kiss, you know, I didn't know it was coming when I was watching it. And I didn't like Logan at all. And I was like, when it became clear where this was headed, I was like, oh my God. And then it was like, but it was so like perfect that then I had a huge crush on Logan. I'm like, how did I go? I didn't even like him. I thought he was like oily.
So terrible.
And now I just love him. And yeah, but it is pretty funny as you mentioned that it's Jonathan Taylor Thomas like in the mix of this scene and he's basically rescued her, you know, that's, you know, what he does. I mean, he's like a rescuing prince at that moment. So
good. He goes literally in like half a season from being the horrible guy who's mean to her and pays bums to fight each other on film to the like most wonderful love interest that whole series ever has. Oh, such work.
Yes. It's yeah, because you would not. No. I also didn't expect that when you start watching what is happening of it.
But I mean, it was bound to happen because her original love interest was about as interesting as a piece of white bread that hasn't been toasted or buttered.
Yeah, no, whatever, right?
No, he's a lawyer now, apparently. So probably a good life choice.
Yeah, unsurprising. Okay, my last choice. I'm like, how do I pick? But I'm going to go with Bridgerton. And in part because I think what I really like about that series is how really it gets what we want, which is like we want hotness, we want sexual tension, we want, you know, and it's not their first kiss between Daphne and Simon, but the first kiss after they're married when he's trying to be respectful and they're in a hotel room and he uses the words, "I burn for you," to which someone made an entire song about, which is genius. And it's just like so stupid hot. And then they also leads into sex for the first time. And I'm like, how do you not love the tension and the build up to that? And lovely. So shall we do a speed round where we can some ones that we didn't pick and maximize all the kissing we get to talk about? So just quickly, Jean, list a few more kisses that you want to give honorable mentions to.
Honorable mentions to Upside Down Spider-Man kiss.
That's classic.
Toby Maguire and Kirsten Dunst. That's just, it's unique. All you have to say is Upside Down. Even Spider-Man's understood. I have Empire Strikes Back, Han and Leia, although, you know, when I first saw it, I loved seeing him like, oh, scoundrel, I like the sound of that. And all that kiss, you know, that was in 1979, and now I have different opinions about kissing and how one should proceed. It turned out okay for those two. I'm going to choose Hermione and Ron from The Deathly Hallows Part 2, where they have destroyed one of the Horcruxes, and they have, you know, been in school together for 7 years, and finally she destroys this terrible item, and he encourages her to do it. She does it, and then they just like immediately fall into a big smooch. And finally, they are together. So talk about will they or won't they? It's a long wait. So that's what I still have on my list.
Those are all solid. Shelley.
So as a nod to high school days, we sent you to see Romeo and Juliet. It was Shakespeare's hot teenager. The Franco Zeffirelli, and she goes, my sin. Pretty great kiss, especially when you're 15.
Yep.
Also, Notorious, Cary Grant and Ingrid Bergman, primarily because there were limits on the production code, from the production code, in terms of how long a kiss could be held, which made it pretty hard to have passion in movies of that era. And so Hitchcock had Grant and Bergman do this successive set of 3-second kisses. It goes on for like 2 minutes. They kiss, they stop, they say something. And it, you know, it's kind of great because it gives a whole new meaning to the title, Everybody Taught Kiss. Also, the one I thought would get sniped for sure from me was When Harry Met Sally, and a good New Year's Eve film as well. Also, back to the classic era, From Here to Eternity, Deborah Kerr and Burt Lancaster on the beach. Woo, so hot, especially for the black and white era. They're not supposed to be together, and they are, and they're in bathing suits. Let your imagination. So that's my second beach kiss.
Nice.
Also, just because I saw this today, this is totally recency bias, Singing in the Rain, You Are My Lucky Son, Debbie Reilly, because it's a surprise. It's like, oh, hello, and they kiss, and it's sweet.
Moises, what more do you have for us?
Well, a lot of my remaining list Shelley just covered admirably, I might add. Very much more recent than some of the things just mentioned. The Grand Budapest Hotel, first kiss between Zero and Agatha. Grand Budapest is, I think, in a walk, my favorite Wes Anderson film.
I love that one.
It has so many wonderful things to it. I urge everybody to go and check it out. I don't know if it's already been mentioned, the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet. Super hot, super hot, super, super hot.
It was on my, you've just sniped me off my honorable mention list. I was like, that one was on there.
I
was like,
I'll take a left turn, then to avoid sniping any more of Annette's, lovely choices, with some stuff that I'm sure is on nobody else's. There's a director that I think does not get enough credit for just how horny their movies are. And you know, horny in a good way. And that's David Cronenberg. and I don't just mean 1996's Crash, about people who have car crash fetishes, among other fetishes, but 1986's The Fly with Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, two beautiful people, kissing, is just, I mean, I don't think I have to convince anybody here. There's nothing wrong with two beautiful people kissing. And looking like they're enjoying what they're doing. Let's see. Somewhere in Time, Malcolm McDowell and, why can I not place her name? Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, Time After Time.
Sorry, that's Time After Time.
I love that.
And then
movie.
I was going to also choose Somewhere in Time.
Somewhere in Time.
But I just inverted the titles. And both wonderful time traveling involved romances that involve some really great kissing from really attractive people.
That time travel and kissing, like, that's a good combination.
Same. That's where I...
Mm-hmm. Katie Beth, what do you got?
Oh my God. Okay. What hasn't been sniped, because I too had Notorious and Empire Strikes Back on my list. 10 Things I Hate About You, the paintball kiss where they're playing paintball and then he shoves her into, Patrick Verona, shoves Kat Stratford into the big pile of hay on the paintball course. And she takes off her goggles and he flings his goggles through the air, which is so beautiful. And then they kiss. And then she smacks him in the head with a paintball and they resume running around first they make out. So great. Another punching and kissing situation. in Meet Me in St. Louis, the Halloween portion.
Oh, yes.
Judy Garland thinks her little sister has been attacked by John Truitt, who's Tom Drake, I think.
Yeah.
And so she goes and she punches him. And he for sure a little like trying to get away from her. And then once she finds out, he didn't injure her little sister, and he in fact kept her little sister from going to, I guess, whatever jail you take a, you know, 6-year-old, 10-year-old to in 1904.
Probably the adult jail, honestly.
For trying to derail a car. She goes back and she kisses him, and she's so startled. She's only gone to apologize, and he grabs her and kisses her, and she goes back to the house, and she sits down, and they're offering her cake and ice cream, and she's just on a cloud because it's her first kiss. And I can't believe I'm saying this because I groaned in the theater, but it's grown on me in Rise of Skywalker when Ben Solo kisses Rey. I remember thinking, I have very specific friends who are going to be very happy. And now I watch it and I'm like, all right, good choice. I don't know if you're a Force ghost or not, but good for you. Every kiss in The Mummy, just blanket statement, all of them. Yeah. Everybody in that movie is hot. Oh my God.
Yes.
In Clueless, the final kiss in Clueless, specifically Paul Rudd gently pulling on Alicia Silverstone's little curl and making it bounce. My God. In the season 2 finale of Chuck, talking about a good intriguing spy show, when Chuck and Sarah are on the run and they wake up in the hotel together and they've liked each other for so long and it's been weird and they haven't made it happen because she's his handler and he's a weird spy computer man, and they're in this hotel room and they're on the run and they have nothing to keep them from it anymore, and they finally kiss and it's so good, and the music choice is also really good, but also, yeah, real good.
Those are excellent. I am going to add a few. One being The Magicians, when Elliot and Q are doing the quest and they're having that whole lifetime together doing the mosaic. And there's a moment when Q leans over, gives a quick kiss, and then Elliot leans back and properly kiss. Fulfillment of all my wishes for them. Also, New Girl, Nick and Jess. That's a good grab and kiss. Gotta love a grab and kiss. Annie and EL when they finally kiss in Covert Affairs, because I just really want them to kiss a lot. French Kiss, the very final scene, it's not even like a really part of the movie, but it's sort of like the epilogue, and they're finally in the vineyard and he grabs, Kevin Klein grabs Meg Ryan and like lifts and kisses her. Very good. And I'm just going to add finally, because I have them, but Shadow and Bone, the Darkling and Alina, which I'm like, I should not want you to kiss. You're like an evil darkling, but the kiss is so good. And I sort of just want to kiss anyway. So I think this wraps up our New Year's draft with all of these kisses. And I will put some links and notes. You can review all our choices and go seek them out and go watch so much kissing that by the time you finish watching it, it will be New Year's end time. It's like flip into 2002. So thank you for joining me. Jean, thank you for coming and sharing all, I guess we're sharing kisses, even though we're not kissing.
Yes, it's not recommended by the CDC right now to just kiss with people, just random strangers unmasked. But no, it's been a pleasure, and I'm glad we did this. It was time to do a kiss draft.
Yeah, well, we just happened to have an episode for Eve, so like, it was time. Shelley, thank you for joining us and bringing some of those old-timey movies that you do on Lion Towers and Shields.
Thank you for having me, and I don't complete strange, so I'll just send an air kiss to all the places on.
I received that air kiss. And thank you for joining us, Moises.
I think it's very important periodically for the agency to reestablish our bona fides for our naming.
It's true. Yes. Like, how did it take us this long to even do a draft?
I feel like there should be lip prints on the album for this one.
Yeah, so many choices.
And Katie Beth, thank you for joining us for the very first time and bringing all your kisses with you.
Thank you. I forgot one. Can I throw one last one?
Oh, yeah. Do it.
All right. This is a Grey's Anatomy spoiler. Sorry, everyone. But Amelia Shepherd and Dr. Kai Bartley, who is the first non-binary character they've ever had on Grey's Anatomy, finally kissed on the most recent episode. and it's beautiful. And I screamed a lot. And I can't believe I didn't see it on my list because it was in all caps. And so I'm looking forward to when the television season resumes in the late winter, finding out if those characters are going to kiss some more.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm generally always here for the kissing.
Mm-hmm. There's not enough of it on TV.
Well, and in life.
Yeah.
And with that, we all wish you a very happy New Year's and all the best in 2022. We will be back with our episode about Fringe. So, you know, get watching. And in the meantime, stay safe, agents. Agents of Smooch is part of the Incomparable Network. If you are enjoying our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the Smooch Agency, you can become a member of The Incomparable at theincomparable.com/members. Members can choose to support us and any other shows on the network, and you get extra perks like hanging out in the members-only Slack channel and bonus content such as our growing list of incomprehensible Agents of Smooch tipsy commentaries. Thank you for listening. Your next mission will be coming to you soon.